Hello and welcome to the Total Football Soccer Show, Richmond's first, only, and therefore best soccer talk show. I'm Taylor, and as always, I'm joined in studio by Albert. Say hello, Al.
Hello.
Josh. Say hello, Josh.
Hello.
And Daryl. Say hello, Daryl.
Hello.
All right, and this week we're previewing Major League Soccer, which kicks off today when the Seattle Sounders host Major League Soccer's newest franchise, the Philadelphia Union. But only a few weeks ago, a lot of people were thinking we weren't even going to be here. Daryl, do you want to explain why that is?
Yeah, there was the potential until this weekend for a strike.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the situation with MLS is that it's a single entity business model. The players are contracted to the league. The league and the players have sort of an agreement on their working terms and conditions.
Right.
And there was a new agreement was scheduled to be in place before this season started.
Okay.
An agreement wasn't reached. The players threatened to strike if an agreement wasn't reached before kickoff.
Yeah.
And finally, the two got a mediator in. They sat down and they figured something out this past weekend.
Okay. And so what exactly did they figure out?
The players wanted things like guaranteed contracts. Their contracts couldn't be cancelled mid-season. They wanted free agency. And they basically just wanted more money.
Yeah.
I mean, not ridiculous money. They just wanted a more livable wage for a lot of players who are on low, low wages.
Yeah.
MLS didn't want this because...
they're cruel and mean. Yeah.
Well, in a way, but also because the single entity business model is there to control costs. Mm-hmm. They don't want costs getting out of control and soccer collapsing because it's not a profitable sport for that many teams right now.
Plus, that's happened before in this country.
Yeah, famously. Yeah. NASL.
Yeah.
So yeah, basically an agreement was reached where the players got some of what they wanted. There was the salary cap was raised from $2.3 million to $2.55 million per team, so a small increase. The minimum salary is now $40,000 for players.
What was it before?
Last season for senior players, it was $34,000. But there were also, recently there have been developmental players,
right,
which it's like you're not a proper senior player. And I think not last season, but the season before, they were earning like $12,000-something a year, which just isn't livable.
And so what about the guaranteed contracts, Daryl?
Well, not for everybody, but for players 24 years and older and with 3 or more years MLS service, they get their contract guaranteed at least for the season.
Okay.
And then with the issue of free agency, the players didn't get what they asked for, but what they did get was a thing called a re-entry draft.
Yeah, which is really confusing to me. So can you guys try to explain it?
Well, you're not the only one that's confused by it. But basically, it seems that when your contract runs out with a club, then rather than that club having the rights to you and not playing you, then the re-entry draft allows you to negotiate with rival teams to sign with them.
Why is that a good idea?
Well, because it's not free agency where there'll be bidding wars and drive the costs up, but it's also not players being shackled to clubs that don't want them. It's sort of a middle ground that favours the league a little more, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Any mobility is better than no mobility. So.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, fair enough. So what do we all think about these changes? Good, bad, somewhere in between?
I think it's a compromise, obviously. The players didn't quite get what they wanted, but the biggest and the most important thing was it's the first time the players have gotten anything they've asked for.
Yeah.
So it's at least a step in the right direction for them.
Yeah, they've been listened to for the first time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I would say it's important that the players were listened to. It's important that they got more freedom of movement in terms of just their life as a union. But I'd say even more important than that is there will be an MLS season. There won't be a work stoppage, and we'll have soccer in the United States going into the World Cup in 2010.
Yeah, we could have been sitting here talking about a strike instead of previewing the season. A strike would have been a step backwards, but they've made some small progress, which I think is sort of one of the enjoyable things about being an MLS fan is seeing that happen.
Yeah, it seems to be like a kind of a tradition in Major League Soccer is to evolve and adapt to new scenarios. So I guess I'll pose the question to the group here. If you could be in charge of MLS for a day and impose a new rule, what might that rule be? What do you think might be holding the MLS back? Albert, what you got?
I would like to see the MLS introduce a more formal calendar in terms of getting in line with the rest of the world. Most of the world plays their league from about September, early August on to May. And I think it would really benefit the U.S. in terms of transfers and things like that and not interfering with the larger international calendar in soccer.
Gotcha. Okay, boys, your thoughts on that one?
Well, I think there's a reason MLS is played in the season it is in America, and that's because during the wintertime, the fall to the early spring, you have a lot of the championships. You've got the NFL finishing up, the NBA, the March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all that competing. And then during the summer, it's just baseball by itself, which is a big sport, but it's one sport and not a world of sports.
Isn't it? I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I've heard there are issues with the weather, as in like you couldn't play in New England in
You could. It just
winter.
Probably wouldn't be as much fun for the players playing in New England in the summer.
The way I looked at it is kind of like based off the German model. You know, they have a 3-week winter break. And so I think, you know, if you can do it in Germany, you can probably do it here. And you know, I think those are definitely valid concerns about it. But I just think it's very important that we try and integrate the U.S. game into the larger international game. And I think that's one way to do it.
Yeah, and the big problem is that FIFA has international dates where international games are played.
Yeah.
And MLS continues through those. So not only have you got MLS competing against international football, which it has no chance, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've also got the international players in MLS, like, say, Beckham, Donovan, mm-hmm. playing international football and missing those games.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you know, not coming here at all because it's like, I want to make my national team and you guys are going to keep playing games through that, so I'm going to play somewhere else.
Away. Yeah. I guess the other thing, though, is about teams owning their stadium. Because, mm-hmm. say, if you're sharing a stadium with an NFL team, mm-hmm. then you can't play in the same season because it's occupied.
Yeah,
good point. It does make it hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I'd like to see a squad of 15 soccer players like kick off however many guys there are.
Yeah, that'd go well. That'd definitely go well. All right, so a good one there, Albert. Josh, what about you?
I would personally like to see the rookie draft rule stopped. Mm-hmm. If you're not familiar, I know most American sports have drafts, but soccer and the rest of the world, you're not drafted onto a team. You're signed by a team, let's say, it could be as young as 14, it could be 20, just depends on when they think you're ready to play for their team, and then you get assimilated in their team as a whole, and you don't just get dumped in, you get brought up into a whole system.
Yeah, and I'd say the bigger problem is that if you go through the college system, what, 18 to 22,
uh-huh.
you get drafted, you're 22.
Yeah.
I mean, you're already behind everybody else who, you know what I mean, like Wayne Rooney was playing when he was 16.
Yeah, actually, I guess that's true. But Josh, I did want to ask you, so what would you like to see implemented then?
I always see a lot like how Wayne Rooney was playing at 16. I like to see the youth academy where you come up with a team as opposed to you just get dropped into a system suddenly.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Yeah. All right, that makes sense. Daryl, what rule change would you like to see?
And the one I'd most like to see is promotion and relegation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
We all want that one.
I think everybody would love that, but everybody knows it's not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Dungarba said, it'll happen, but not in our lifetime.
That's optimistic.
Well, yeah.
I mean, at least he's a realist, and I kind of do appreciate that about a lot of the brass in MLS.
And there's also the thing if you have to pay $40 million to buy into the league, and no one is going to do that, if you can be relegated out of the league
the next year.
And then I think just the other point is the salary cap overall. If you look at 2009, obviously it's increased since then, but in 2009 the salary cap was $2.3 million a team. That's about $96,000 a player. In the NFL in 2009, for 53 players, it was $112 million. That's $2.1 million a player. You can't have a professional league that can't pay its players that well. It's just not going to be attractive. And I think that until they expand the salary cap or expand the roster, it's going to be a big problem.
I mean,
I think we all agree, yeah.
I think we all agree, but I also think that knowing what we know about MLS and that it definitely wants to control costs as much as it does, mm-hmm. it's going to have to be a step-by-step kind of baby step process to do each of those things. I think they're very important for the league to grow and for the league to become more quality over the years.
But
to grow that thing, that side of it, too fast is also very dangerous.
Yeah.
Evolution, not revolution.
Oh, wow.
I think he's the president of the day.
Well played, Daryl. Well done. Okay, well, so that's kind of the gloom and doom situation, but now I think we should actually do the preview and look forward to the player that we're most excited to see this season. So, Al, who would that be for you?
For me, it's young Robbie Rogers of the Columbus Crew, and I'll tell you why. I think he represents the things that I love about the MLS. He's a young American player getting a chance to play, and in a professional league in his home country, and that's just a beautiful thing to me. It's a great thing to have American kids to aspire to. And another thing, I think that if he plays well early in the season, he could be on that plane to South Africa. So that's kind of an intriguing thing to look out for him. He's a pacey winger. He goes at players. He scores goals. You know, he's an exciting player. But is he going to take that next step and make it into the full national team fold? So I'm just really excited to see what he does this year.
All right, so Robbie Rogers for Albert.
The American Stuart Downing.
Okay. You want to explain that one a little bit?
Yeah, there's an English player who plays for Aston Villa who's basically very similar, like a left winger, Stuart Downing, who's pretty quick, can cross, not really got any tricks. So I see him as a very similar player.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
Thanks. Not an insult, by the way.
Unless you're Robbie Rogers, then maybe a little bit. Josh, what about you?
My player is actually another American on the different end of his career. It's Brian McBride of the Chicago Fire. Mm-hmm. Probably my favorite player of all time. And what you need to know about him is, if you don't know anything about him already, he's great in the air, very acrobatic, And then as his game developed, he became very good holding the ball up and really was the key player in a lot of ways as America became more recognizable overseas. And now he's back in the MLS.
Yeah, it's about heroes returning home, sort of.
Yeah, sort of. Plus, he's more machine than he is man. It's like so the eighth time I've made that joke, but every time it's true.
So. It's obligatory that you have to say that.
it's actually his last name, like Chad Ochocinco. It's Brian McBride, more machine than he is man. It's a little known fact. All right, so Robbie Rogers, Brian McBride. Darryl, what about you?
I'm going to go for Freddie Montero of the Seattle Sounders.
All right, and why is that?
What I like about him is that I know we have a lot of young American players playing in MLS.
Mm-hmm.
This kid, Freddie Montero, a young, talented Colombian player who sort of chose to come to MLS. Mm-hmm. He came on loan from Deportivo Cali, a big Colombian team last year. Now he's signed permanently. He's like a little fast striker, lots of step overs, like direct to goal.
Yeah.
If you watch his goals from last year, I think he scored 12 goals in MLS. No tap-ins. Everything's like dribble and shoot in the corner, or it's a long-range shot. There's even a goal where he slide tackles New York's right back in the corner, takes the ball, runs in, and drills it into the top corner.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. He's just exciting to watch.
It's definitely true, because you don't usually think of Major League Soccer being creative flair players, and he certainly is. So
yeah, he's just exciting, and he's foreign and young, as opposed to foreign and old.
Well, thank you for that segue, because I'm also choosing a Seattle Sounders player, but mine is named Blaise Couffaut.
Fantastic name.
Thank you. There's an N there in front of the Couffaut, but it's silent. I don't even know why it's there, nor does he. I think it was actually like erroneously put on his jersey, and then it just kind of stuck.
Is that true? Yes.
Oh, okay. But he is actually a member of the Swiss national team. He currently plays for FC Twente in the Dutch Eredivisie. Twente are in first place right now, mainly because he scored a lot of goals. In fact, he's their all-time leading goal scorer. So he's coming to the Sounders now. And I think,
why is he leaving?
He's 34, and I think he's been there for 7 years. But that's actually a really good question. One of the main reasons is because his family is already, or some of his family is already in Vancouver. So he's coming here to settle, which is not something that you usually see. You settle
in Seattle.
Exactly. Wow. Oh, you're just like on the verbal on the verbal night. Poetry this evening. But you have a guy like Cuauhtemoc Blanco, the Mexican legend, who played for the Fire in Chicago for a couple of years. Now he's back. He's gone back to Mexico, and that's where he's going to live. Yeah. But Couffaut is coming to Seattle. He wants to live there, and he wants to stay there. And I think that's a lot of times the biggest problem for players is that relocation. And so I think you're going to see a really great goal scorer who's going to go there and succeed.
Wow.
So
that guy's going to have a little partnership then.
Yeah, there you go. There we go. Seattle.
Sounds
Seattle.
Good.
Let's hope their partnership is as successful as ours.
Wow. Well done. Again, so pretty. But yeah, I guess we should say that those are the players that we're most excited to see. But what thing are you all most excited about? What element of Major League Soccer are you guys looking forward to this season? Al, what you got?
I'm most excited about the Philadelphia Union, an expansion team, in MLS. In the vein that I'm excited about the league expanding in general, but also I think it's great to have Philadelphia be in the league now, with DC and New York already in it. There's some built-in regional rivals for them.
Yeah, Darryl, what's the story that you always tell about Philly and New York fans?
Oh, yeah, apparently, obviously before Philly had a team, some of the soccer fans from Philly used to go to New York games and sing, "We haven't got a team, but we've won as many titles as you."
Yeah, so a nice bit of a regional rivalry forming there.
And yeah, just some other things I'm excited about, with the team. Peter Novak's their coach. He has MLS experience, and he coached the U.S. team in the 2008 Olympics, and he's kind of brought in some guys that played with him there. Chris Seitz, who's an exciting young American goalkeeper, and one day may take over the mantle from either Brad Guzan or Tim Howard when it comes time. But
he's not dead on lock to be the starting goalkeeper. In fact, Mills Godwin's own Brad Knighton could be in there as well. So a bit of a home team player there.
Yeah, and from that same 2008 Olympic team, Michael Orozco, who I remember for his horrible red card against Nigeria. And so I want to see how he does. He's more mature now, theoretically. And so hopefully, we'll get to see him do some good things and maybe work his way into the U.S. men's national team fold.
Yeah, I think you're not really a proper U.S. international until you've been sent off in a tournament.
How dare you? Yeah. How dare you, sir?
And then finally, the number one pick in this year's draft, young Danny Mwenga from Oregon State. He's Congolese, and like I said, he was the first overall pick in this draft, and he's a forward, and they're looking for his pace and just his nose for goal to really add something to the team. And last but not least, they're going to end up playing this season at PPL Park, which is a soccer-specific 18,500-seat stadium in Philadelphia. And from all the pictures, go online, check it out. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, and I believe Philly fans are not the only ones who are excited about a new stadium. Is that correct, Daryl?
Yeah, New York fans are very excited about their stadium. New York Red Bull will have a stadium this year, Red Bull Arena.
Shocking that Red Bull would be included in the title.
I'll say, Albert, you want to remind me what the capacity of the Philadelphia stadium was?
18,500.
It's a Wikipedia off here, yeah, folks. Right. Very impressive.
Who's
going
to win?
Red Bull Arena is 25,000.
All right.
Not bad.
And the reason I'm very excited about this is the poor New York team, mm-hmm, who, as we mentioned, have never won a championship.
Yeah.
We're playing at Giant Stadium, which holds, what, like 80,000 or something ridiculous?
Yeah.
It's literally a giant stadium.
Yeah. And with non-giant crowds. I mean, there were like 10, 15,000 people in there a lot of the time. Yeah. And it just, and it's artificial turf. Red Bull Arena, 25,000, good size, grass field. Mm-hmm. No gridiron marks or whatever.
The one thing I know about it is because, like, I watched the MLS preview show, and the guy who was covering it was so excited that it was Wi-Fi. They have wireless internet everywhere. And it's like, really? That's what you're excited about? Be more of a member of the media, for real.
But the big reason I'm excited about it isn't just this trend of soccer-specific stadiums. I think I counted something like 10 out of the 16 teams will have soccer-specific stadiums this year, where they're not sharing with other sports. Mm-hmm. It's that it's the New York team. And I feel like New York having a successful and respected team is key to soccer in America because it's the big media market.
Or if they can't have that, at least a respectable stadium.
Yeah, well, maybe it goes hand in hand.
Yeah,
hopefully. All right, Josh, what about you? What are you excited about?
You mean besides the MLS 2010 kickoff drinking game?
Yeah.
Besides that?
Yeah, I think besides that one.
Okay. No, in all seriousness, I'm really excited to see a lot of the USA fringe players that are competing in MLS this season, to see them, because they haven't played for 2 or 3 months. So even when you saw them in friendlies, you weren't seeing a fit player. So I'm excited to see players like Connor Casey for the Colorado Rapids, Robbie Finley for Real Salt Lake, Kyle Beckerman, the midfielder for Real Salt Lake, a lot of those, just get a chance to start playing and get the touches and see if they can make the team.
Yeah, I think that's all going to be part of the World Cup build-up is how these players play in MLS. So yeah, I'm excited about that too. Taylor, what's yours?
I think we had a lot of negative things to say, or I had a lot of negative things to say at the beginning of this, but I think one of the positives is that besides Philly, the two most recent teams to be added are Seattle and Toronto, and they're the two, I believe they're the only profitable ones coming out of last season, and that's due in large part because they've sold out every single one of their games. Seattle set MLS attendance records, and like just look at Seattle. The way they do it, Drew Carey actually set up that they have a marching band that starts in the city center. They march to every single game, and they have fans come out and follow them the whole way. And they're selling out. Like, they're selling out immediately. They've already sold out of season tickets for this season, and I just think it's...
Is Drew Carey in the marching band?
I think he marches with them. He's a minority owner, so he's in there. But I don't think he's playing anything, that would be better.
While that all sounds like kind of funny and childish, it's a really cool atmosphere they create, and it gets everyone excited, so it's doing great.
Yeah, and it was really exciting because I watched their first game, and it was like, oh, okay, you guys are excited for your first game. Like, go back to watching the Seahawks, and I'm sure you'll get 8,000 people. And yet every single game, they're loud. Mm-hmm. And I just think it shows that, you know, Major League Soccer gave Florida two franchises. They don't exist anymore. And yet a market like Seattle, which wasn't even, you know, in the expansion talk to begin with early on, now they have, you know, one of the best, most rabid fan bases. I just think it shows that Major League Soccer is really, when it comes to recruiting new teams and putting them in new places, I think they're going in the right direction.
Yeah,
I'd agree. They've suddenly got smart about it.
Yeah, and then I guess the ones that they're talking about with, you know, future of expansion, they've got what, like Portland, I think, is coming in.
2011, Portland and Vancouver.
Who both have, you know, very long soccer histories.
In the USL.
Yeah, there you go.
And then the key thing is, like we talked about with Albert's point about the rivalry, with New York, Philly, DC, all of a sudden you'll have that Northwest corner filled in.
Yeah, I think they've already named it, actually. Like, they have like a derby title already, but I forget what it is.
I think
Philly and New York do as well. So it's going to be a heated season. I'm very excited about it. But yeah, I guess that brings us to the end of our 2010 MLS preview. But now I did want to take a moment, but we're discussing future franchises, and I did want to ask you guys what cities you think are perfect for expansion. Although I guess maybe, Daryl, do you want to explain the concept of expansion?
Yeah, right now, for the MLS 2010 season, there'll be 16 teams. In 2011, there'll be 18 teams when we add Portland and Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And apparently the goal is for 2012 to have two more teams and make 20.
Okay.
So there are potentially two expansion spots in 2012.
Okay, so right now, the four of us are going to decide what cities are going to get expansion teams.
And we're just going to tell Don Garber.
Yeah, pretty much. I got him on the phone. Speed dial.
I was just going to write a strongly worded email.
Me and Donnie G, baby. We're tight. All right, so Albert, what city do you want to see the MLS go to?
I would like to see the MLS expand to Rochester, New York. Mm-hmm. And that may sound odd to many people out
there. Me included.
Yeah.
Thanks, Daryl. But it's because they have kind of recently created their own nice little soccer tradition with their team, the Rochester Rhinos. And they already have their own soccer-specific stadium. The really important thing for them is that in the mid to late 90s and even the early 2000s, they routinely had season attendance averages over the 10,000 mark, which put them ahead of many MLS teams when they were in the A-League. So that's pretty impressive. There's already a foundation there. They're fans that want to see good soccer. They're willing to go see people play at a high level. And I think that it's more important, though, when I'm talking about it, is to think that in upstate New York, really the only pro sports team they have are the Buffalo Bills.
You mean the Toronto Bills?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. The soon-to-be Toronto Bills. So this would be something for not just people in Rochester, but people all over the upstate New York community to get behind. And it's a big there's a big soccer community up there already.
Is there potential for a rivalry with New York Red Bulls?
I think there's definitely, especially having gone to school in upstate New York, you know, there's definitely a difference between people from upstate and people from the city.
And especially because, I mean, Red Bull New York is actually Red Bull New Jersey. That's where their new stadium is. And so it's kind of like people who support the Buffalo Bills say, well, they're the only real New York team because the other two play in New Jersey. And so you could definitely have that kind of rivalry brewing. So I like this. I like this Rochester pick. Josh, can you find another city?
I'm going to go with St. Louis. It was actually in line for one of the bids this past year when Philadelphia got their team. St. Louis fell short because they didn't have the funding. But according to John Cooper, who's the head lawyer, the head guy leading this charge for St. Louis, he's going to be able to figure out the backing. So that's a good thing. The other main thing is they already have a stadium set to be built. The second they get the franchise, St. Louis has the stadium set.
Nice.
I know Rochester already has one, but St. Louis's population is so much bigger, and soccer's actually, for the Midwest, St. Louis is a huge pocket for soccer. So I think it'd be a good place to expand on and go to.
Off that point, talking about it being a big mecca for soccer in the Midwest, it was for a long time, outside of maybe New York, the mecca for soccer in the United States. Like
Soccer City, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it would be nice to kind of bring soccer in America home. So I think that's a great point.
That should be their bid slogan.
Bring soccer home.
Albert, marketing genius. Okay, so Rochester, St. Louis, and Daryl, what you got?
I'm going to go north of the border.
All right.
Montreal.
All right. I like it.
I figure we've already got Vancouver and Toronto in MLS, bought by 2011. Mm-hmm. It feels a shame to leave Montreal out because that's the third big soccer city in Canada. I want the full set.
It's like playing cards here?
Like Rochester, they've already got a soccer-specific stadium. Mm-hmm. They're an established team that they've been playing in like the A-League and USL or whatever since the 90s.
Montreal Impact?
Montreal Impact,
okay, yeah.
And the big deal is last season, 2009, they were in the CONCACAF Champions League for winning the Canadian Championship between those three teams we mentioned. Mm-hmm. They played Santos Laguna of Mexico in the quarterfinal, CONCACAF Champions League. They got 55,000 people come to watch that quarterfinal game.
Radio Lane, you can't see this. Yeah. My eyes are large. That's 55,000?
Yeah.
I didn't even know there were that many people in Canada. What? Wow. Okay.
It was everybody.
All at once. So they canceled hockey and curling, I guess, that night so everyone could go to the game. All right, that makes sense.
That's harsh. But I know the thing is there's not a good Canadian soccer league.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there is this good club, Montreal Impact, who are currently in the second tier of US soccer.
Yeah.
So I think it seems just natural for them to join Major League Soccer.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, so once again, we've got
Rochester,
St. Louis,
Montreal.
All right, I've got two words for you all. Three words. The Baltimore Omars.
Yes.
Wow. That's what I want. That's my third straight show of referencing The Wire.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I'm looking at Baltimore. The main reason is because DC United was trying to get a soccer-specific stadium built, and it was I think it's been vetoed, and it's still a bit of an issue. And the Baltimore mayor was like, "All right, well then move DC here, and we'll get one built." And they've already actually commissioned it's a $100,000 study to explore where they should build the stadium and you know how feasible it would be
in the harbor.
I think it's good one, Josh. I like it. But it's fueled this summer. AC Milan played Chelsea there, and 71,000 people turned out for it. And if you look at you know their NFL team, the Ravens are really high in attendance, and so I think that they're you know a single sports city that could use another one. Baltimore Omars, come on. They already have Baltimore Crystal Palace or Crystal Palace Baltimore.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Why not?
Again, I think. Going back to what we were talking about with that corridor in the Northwest, getting all those teams there, adding Baltimore right on that I-95 corridor can only help in terms of rivalries and getting people excited. So.
Especially since, like, sometimes it seems like a little bit that these MLS rivalries are, you know, sort of forced.
Contrived,
like,
almost.
Yeah, and I think that if you have a situation where Baltimore, like, literally tried to steal DC United from DC, I think it could definitely be a bit of a heated one. So I guess we need to vote on this one. So why don't we each pick two cities and we'll see who gets the most votes. Darryl, who you got?
Wow. I genuinely love for them all to be in there.
Okay.
I'm going to go my top two, St. Louis for the history, and I think Baltimore for the rivalry with DC.
Yeah, you will. All right, Josh, what about you?
Okay, I think I'm going to have to go with St. Louis, much for the same reason the history, just they were the culture of soccer in America for a while.
Mm-hmm. And because it was your pick.
Well, that doesn't hurt it, I'll be honest. And since Darryl picked St. Louis, now I'm going to go with Montreal, too, because the crowds they're bringing out there are awesome.
Okay. Al, what about you?
Sorry to the good folks at Rochester. I try to champion your cause, but it seems like the other three candidates were more outstanding in certain ways. I'm going to go with Baltimore and Montreal.
Ooh. All right.
It's all up to Taylor.
Whatever, Baltimore Omars are in, baby. You don't need to worry about that one. So then it comes down to Montreal and St. Louis. I got to give it to St. Louis just because of the history, as we talked about, and I don't really like Darryl voting for Montreal. So there we go. So St. Louis and Baltimore are our two picks. We can send them to Don Garber unless Darryl objects.
I'll just suggest a name change to the Baltimore team. I think something like, if you got to be a Wire reference, maybe the Baltimore Game or something like that. The Baltimore Police.
Yes.
I think the police might already have that title, but we could look into it.
There would be some confusion.
All right, fair enough. All right, Don Garber, you got St. Louis, you got Baltimore. You can decide on the names. I mean, Omar is going to be mad, but whatever. But so we've got all that settled, so I guess we should say goodbye for this week. So say goodbye, Al.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Josh.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Darryl.
Goodbye.
All right, and goodbye. We'll talk to you next week.